Toledo's, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us on your lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. I'm pretty happy that we got that on camera of us all playing our respective instruments for on Wisconsin. We are going to talk about yesterday's inauguration, and here to join us and give his thoughts on the ceremony, the speeches, but maybe not the gala, because it sounds like you did not go. Your invite got lost in the mail too, right, Dan Schaefer?
Yeah, lost in the mail. I'm not fancy enough to go to these Madison parties, the inauguration. I'm just gonna hang out here in Milwaukee and, you know, eat pizza with my kids.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sounds amazing.
All right, so we were on air during the actual rotunda swearing in and the speeches, and I think there was a marching band of some band from, I'm guessing maybe it was West High School, I don't know, was there, but it was full. I saw some pictures. I had it on streaming, but obviously we had a live radio show, so I did not get to watch much of it. Were you watching the live coverage of yesterday starting at 11?
I watched the whole thing. You know, it was, I like these big ceremonial type of things that government does when everybody starts out these sessions with, you know, saying, oh, we're going to be bipartisan and we're going to work together. And like all these wonderful platitudes that will, you know, immediately be chucked out the door as soon as, the rubber hits the road. But I like the, you know, the symbolic message of it, to just like the reset, the starting something new, the over the top pomp and circumstance. And then you had, you know, things like Tony Evers getting up in his speech, and he's going to go up and play the hits now. So he started his speech by saying, I'm Tony Evers, and yes, I'm jazzed as hell to be sworn in as the 46th governor of the great state of Wisconsin. And ended his speech, you know, as only Evers truly could, with Wisconsin, let's polka tonight and let's get to work tomorrow. So he's just really playing the hits to start things and close things. I feel like that was really a theme throughout of it. It was just, you know, all these guys saying much what they have throughout the campaign.
Were there any mackerels thrown in there?
I don't think there are any holy mackerels thrown in there. He didn't, you know, swear anything past the jazzed as hell. That's when you know Evers is really fired up, when he drops a BS line or something like that in
or
there.
GD.
I feel like we should come up with some sort of Evers anger scale, where it's just like, you know, the BS. I'm trying not to swear on live radio here, so I'll just kick it back to you. But I think, you know, we should really get something like that to talk.
I mean, truly, the Obama anger interpreter was one of the best. And so I don't know what that would look like as a Wisconsin version for Tony Evers, but there's something there. Greg, get on it.
All right, fine. I feel like the top would actually not even be swears. It'd be like, now you've done it. And then his eyes just light up with fire, like, oh no, Tony's gone nuclear.
Does Tony Evers as Homelander?
Tony Evers saying something like, listen here, buddy. And it's like, whoa, we got to take a step back there.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
So I think you make a good point, though, because I feel like on both sides right now, there's been sentiments about not real compromise, but like lowering the temperature between things that Brian Schimming has said in his newly elected position as the GOP chair. Voss has even said a little bit of like, well, we're not going to reintroduce bills that we know he's just going to veto, that Evers has said, you know, what do we need to do to get some of these appointments through? And so, do you think it's all, we're not going to swear, BS? Do you think it's actually with good intentions? And do you think there's any chance of not, I'm not going to say everything's going to just be kumbaya, but it is, could it be different this time around, knowing that they can't just, they being the GOP, can't just dig their heels in as much? And to be fair, I've also heard that it's not like the Evers administration was always coming to the table either.
Right. So I think, you know, you think back to these last 4 years of Tony Evers' term, and so much of it from the Republican side in the legislature has been defined by this policy of obstruction, whether it's the gavel in, gavel outs, whether it's not bringing Democratic bills up for public hearings, whether it's not addressing the 180 appointments that never, that the state Senate just never took up, whether it's, you know, the guys like the letting people stay on the DNR board or the Technical College board, all of these things that the Republicans did to try to make Tony Evers a one-term governor failed. So you would hope that they have to, you know, alter their strategy a little bit, knowing that they were not able to make Evers a one-term governor. You know, they played basically 4 years of legislative keep away to try to keep Evers from doing even, you know, the types of things that had consensus popularity, things like expanding Medicaid, you know, legalizing marijuana, increasing school funding, all the different things that, you know, as Evers kind of quipped during his speech yesterday, are the types of things that pull off the charts on the Marquette Law poll. You know, he was, I think he had a line here in the speech saying that, like, I'm not naive enough to believe that 100% of the people who cast their ballot agree with me on every issue. Depending on the issue, it's probably closer to 60, 70, 80% based on the Marquette Law poll. So he is trying to, you know, put forward those issues where there is kind of a more of a broad consensus in the state of Wisconsin. I don't think, you know, the Republicans are going to come and have this kumbaya moment that people might be hoping for. But I do think it's going to have to be a little bit better than last session, knowing that they failed in their ultimate goal of preventing that second term.
Well, because, I mean, the only reason why I'm starting to think maybe the difference between just words and actions is Fred Prentz stepped down. And yesterday, right, three of the Technical College board people, women, it was all women, right?
Yeah.
Had also stepped down. And so, like, there is some people saying, all right, we're, it's not necessarily the elected officials, but some of the appointed people who refuse to step down are like, all right, I'm going to walk away now. And that's the only thing that's kind of been a kernel of maybe it won't be as bad.
I think it has to do with what we were talking about in the earlier segment too, with the House, is that that strategy just didn't work, so they have to correct now. And you're going to have the residual of, like, you know, have the people in you'll have those people who will try to be obstructionists, but you got people like Voss who's just going to say, like, all right, let's just get things done. And will people in the GOP in Madison turn on Voss then?
Mm-hmm.
Can they? Because I would say he's got a lot of power. So, but, like,
he's also vindictive as AF.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, is this what we're seeing right now in, like, the public, like, just, they're like, oh, we can't do this anymore. We got to get something done. It might not be everything we like or not a lot, but it's more than last time.
Well, Voss, so I happened to watch Voss's speech yesterday.
I was going to ask, okay.
Well, so it's always very funny to hear Robin Voss talk about compromise and bipartisanship and all of these things that he has done none of during his extended time as Assembly Speaker. And it's also very interesting to see Voss try to paint himself as some sort of moderate,
yeah,
just because there's, like, one or two representatives that are now to the right of him, that he, you know, people like Janelle Branchen, who he empowered through making her the head of the elections committee in the last session. So now he's trying to paint himself as the moderate. And I think he said at one point in the speech, you know, 90% of the work is in the middle in Wisconsin, and painting himself as kind of being part of that middle is very funny, considering the fact that we have more than a decade of evidence that he is nothing of the sort. But I think there, you know, there are these, like, incremental steps that he's kind of, you know, signified. Like, take the Milwaukee local revenue issue, mm-hmm, for example. 2 years ago, in interviews, he does these kind of, like, interview circuits with, like, the policy forums and the WisPolitics of the world, and in the kind of, like, off season before the session. And before, he said on the local sales tax, he said, this is never happening. Never, never, never. And now he's saying, okay, it's probably not happening. We want to see reform. We want to see privatization. We want to see blah, blah, blah. Well, that's a little better, right? Like, it's a little better that he is not just shutting down the entire thing. But again, he's not exactly the most bipartisan compromise type of guy, as much as he's trying to paint himself as that now.
And that's an interesting thing that I haven't dug in enough, because I heard that he's saying that. It's like, well, I want them to exhaust. I want the, you know, Crowley, Common Council, Chevy, to exhaust their options of what could be privatized. And I understand the argument of efficiencies and all of this stuff with business, but ultimately there's things that are public goods. And when you privatize them, those private entities are looking to make money. They're not doing it because it is a right or a public good, right? Like they're looking to turn a profit on whatever they do. So like, I don't know. I haven't dug in and be like, well, what could we even privatize that would make sense and not just screw over the people who need these services?
When I worked for the city of Racine, one of the things we looked at doing was privatizing our garbage pickup. And we met with some companies and we found out in the long run, after looking at projections to what you're saying, they're looking to make as much money by spending as least amount of money, which means cutting things within their business, which means cutting services to the people. And we found out that privatizing garbage pickup in Racine would have costed a lot more and been less of a value for the people. So whenever someone talks about the beauty of privatization, that's the first thing I always think about, is that scenario is like, it's going to cost you more in the long run and people are going to be more angry and there's going to be less recourse.
Well, you also put up in a position to give them a monopoly.
Yeah.
Who likes We Energies?
They're the number one energy source for you here in southeastern Wisconsin.
Does anyone like We Energies? No. Does anyone think it's working?
No. It's the same with Spectrum.
That's what they're saying. We need more We Energies style government in Wisconsin.
This is really working for everyone right now.
It should just be called We Energy. Yeah. There's no more than one. Just We Energy.
All right. Well, we got to take a break, but Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here when we come back. If you have any questions or comments for us, feel free to text them in 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Greg Bach is here. He's very excited about this bumper music that Jane Matinera on the board played. And we are joined by Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Greg, before we go back into yesterday's inauguration, you seem very excited about that bumper music.
That was Lemmy.
Who?
Motorhead's lead singer. Now RIP, he's gone now. But Lemmy, that was Lemmy singing an acoustic song, which if you know Motorhead, Ace of Spades. Okay, I'm talking to my sister apparently.
I think Jane gets it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. If there's any way you can work Ace of Spades into this soon, you can just hear what Lemmy's known for. But okay.
Okay, Dan gets it too. I'm the only one who's lost a deer in headlights right now.
Oh man, you're just not with what the kids are listening to nowadays.
And I just
didn't you have a metalhead phase growing up, Kristen? Come on now.
I had a strong
musical
Broadway. Yeah. Yes, Broadway.
I just had to use it because talking about Governor Evers and the name of the song is I Ain't No Nice Guy, which I just think is perfect.
And Lemmy was, though. He was a sweetheart.
The amount of Easter eggs that Jane puts into this show is just chef's kiss. All right, so we're talking about inauguration. We're talking about the speeches, bipartisanship. And that was one of the things as I was reading people's coverage of yesterday is that right now, Devin Lemihu, Voss, they are very hung up on this flat income tax plan. And everything I understand this tax plan to be is that it would benefit people who are already making a lot of money. I would say it's probably still better than no income tax, which I know certain groups are really pushing for that too. And I did not listen to Voss's speech. So what were some of the things that he said about that that you would like to discuss, Mr. Dan Schaefer?
Well, first, I think it's important to note that this was something that the Republicans denied that they were running on during the campaign. A friend of Asgos, Wisconsin, Phil Rocco, wrote a piece for the Recombobulation Area talking about the flat tax proposal that Tim Michaels floated. And we got all sorts of backlash saying, oh, this isn't a real proposal. This isn't that. And as soon as the election's over, LeMahieu and Voss are like, yeah, we want a flat tax. We want to have this upwards redistribution of wealth.
We're going to die on this hill during the budget cycle.
Yeah. So they told us, they got so mad at us. We even got pushback from like Grover Norquist over our piece on this, which was very ridiculous. And I can send you the link to the rebuttal that Phil wrote, which was hilarious. But they so insisted, they were so furious with us for saying that Republicans wanted a flat tax. And as soon as the election's over, they're like, yeah, we want a flat tax. So, funny campaign politics versus actual legislating politics as well. But Robin Voss did bring this up again. He had kind of three main points as legislative priorities that he mentioned in his speech when he was elected speaker. Not quite as tumultuous of a vote to elect him speaker as Kevin McCarthy is facing in the House right now. But he did not get 100% of Republicans voting for him. There were 60 votes of the 64 for Voss. I'm still trying to figure out who those four votes are. I know Janelle Branchon is one of them.
Absolutely.
But one of the things that he talked about as a challenge in Wisconsin is Wisconsin's demographic crisis, having no net population growth over the past decade. You know, it's a real mystery who was in charge that past decade. Who could have possibly caused those potential policies with people leaving the state? Who could it have been?
I mean, but Scott Walker had that $1 million ad campaign. You're saying that didn't work?
Yeah, it did not work. You know, we don't know who was in charge. We don't know who to pin the blame on for these types of things. Couldn't have been the unified Republican government that was advancing. You know, who knows? But he talked about a flat tax as a way to attract people to live in the state of Wisconsin, which I know, Kristen, you've talked about as something that has been floated throughout the campaign is really speaking to the millennial audience. You know, let's get rid of women's reproductive rights. Let's get rid of, you know, all sorts of different things. But, you know, if we have a flat tax, and one of the things that he mentioned with that, and he's mentioned in a couple interviews, I watched too many of these Voss interviews during these the pre-session thing, but he talked about, you know, retired couples, you know, making their primary residence in Florida or Tennessee versus Wisconsin. This seems to be a big concern of Voss's. And he even went as far as to say, you know, that flat taxes, and I'm going to quote here. He says, just to be clear, it's not about rewarding the wealthy, even though there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. That's a direct quote.
Spoken like a wealthy guy. Popcorn king of Wisconsin.
And he's talking about people, whether retired couples having their permanent residence in Florida versus Wisconsin, really speaking to the needs of the state of Wisconsin, really talking about the real priorities that we should be addressing in the state assembly.
Well, and also really speaking to the needs of the workforce that we so desperately need.
Right.
And I will say, I get it. I have wealthy friends who, when they're like, I should leave New York because I make a lot of money, and if I went to a place like Puerto Rico or Florida or Texas, I wouldn't have to pay this in taxes. And then sometimes they get there, they're like, I miss New York, right? Yeah. There's a reason why you pay a premium on some places to live, and that we are not New York, but we are also not Florida. You know how someone check the weather in Florida right now
and tell me the
difference of how much more sunshine and temperature they have than us, right? Like, there's certain places that we're not going to be able to compete with because some people just want to have vitamin D in the middle of the winter, right? And there's different, it's 81 degrees here right now. It's 37 here right now. And so I just don't buy that we will be a competitive place by simply lowering our taxes or eliminating income tax, because we need more to compete on than that, because we certainly don't have the weather. And now we're running out of time. Mr. Dan Schaefer, we'll have to have you back, not only again, but maybe for longer. Plenty of things to talk about, the budget, Supreme Court race. I'm sure you'll be writing about all of it on the Recombobulation Area. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you next time. Well, when we come back, a conversation about how many friends, specifically good friends, do you actually need for optimal health? We'll be back. This is Ask Us Wisconsin.